On this episode, Hasan Minhaj stops by, and get ready, this episode is fucking awesome.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Hey everybody, this is Gary Vay, Nerdchuck, and this is episode 274 of the Ask Gary V Show. Hasan Minhaj is in the building.
Yeah.
We've already, by the way, we did a much better version of the show already before the show because our energies were 1 plus 1 equals 11, uh-huh. Not even a 1 plus 1 equals 3, which is the in-between of me liking somebody. The 1 plus 1 equals 11 is I'm gonna be homies with this person for the rest of my life. Behind the scenes, through our people, through like direct messages,
yeah.
It's been very obvious. I've been looking forward to this tremendous. This has been a fun day.
Same.
This is a fun day for me.
Uh-huh.
I had Roy Jones Jr.
Oh,
I'm a huge boxing fan.
Yeah.
I had Quincy Enunwa from the Jets. The Jets are my religion.
Uh-huh.
And now you are here.
Thank you.
And you guys, Andy, admit you are sad that everything that happened prior to this intro was not in the podcast or the Ask Gary Vee show.
Yeah.
But you're happy that Kyle was documenting it for Daily V and we'll be able to use some of that.
Yes.
You're equally happy that we may cut up 1 minute of something that was said before and it may go
on
really
IG
viral
video.
On IG video. Okay, good.
And it's going to have the yellow thing around here. My thing is going to be annotated above here.
He's in it.
And Kevin Durant may like it. How fucking dope is that?
Hey, wait, before you explode and do your thing, you have to tell, you know, listen, I have a lot of people on the show. I always say the cliche, the 9 people that don't know. I think it's very obvious to me. I gave you a compliment off the air of like how you've audited me and what I'm up to is how I judge everyone.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. I've got a real fucking racket.
Yeah, that's...
It's a mirror game. Right. I judge everybody in the world based on how they judge me because I think I'm an enigma, hard to figure out, and the smarter you are, the more you believe. You believe so much that I'm like, fuck, this dude's really fucking smart. So now what I know is because of that, and that's cultural and pulse and awareness and distribution, I think a lot of my fans, A, already know who you are, but more importantly, a lot of them don't and will really become fans of yours. So I'm excited. I'm even curious of how you're going to answer this question. Who are you and how do you describe yourself and what's the origin story? Go.
My name is Hasan Minhaj. I'm a comedian and correspondent on The Daily Show on Comedy Central and... I'm a comedian and storyteller, yeah.
What's the origin story?
Origin story? So, how did I get into this? Okay, so...
But more importantly, origin, like comic books, like a spider bit your face.
Yeah,
like,
totally,
you know,
totally,
where were you
born, totally.
Like that
should I give him the Homecoming King story?
Of course.
Okay. This is culture right here.
Listen, I'm excited.
Yeah. So born and raised in Northern California, child of immigrants, first generation. A lot of your story, my story, super, super similar.
Yep.
Eldest in the family, so therefore I had to like sort of carry the load. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Sort of define.
Fucking AJ had a great life. I know the
amazing
story.
Life.
Go ahead.
One of my famous jokes from my special on Netflix is I talk about how much younger siblings bring nothing to the table. They're basically worthless.
Was that a humble brag, the Netflix special? Like, I like the way you weave that in. Like, I want a Netflix special. And I like the way you slid that. You, like, slid into the DM.
No. You know what it is? Is people go, how do I see it? And you have to let people know. Hey, like, Netflix has been synonymous with comedy. So you're with your cab driver. Hey, man, do I know you? You do comedy? Where? You go Netflix. They go, oh, got it.
Uh-huh.
It has been synonymous with you do comedy. Where can I see it?
Yep.
I don't believe you. Oh, you do. Just like when
were
growing up.
Cab drivers are telling you that they don't believe you?
No. Like cab drivers have to drive open micers around all night.
All day.
Between like 7 to 2 a.m. Yeah. New York City is the place to do comedy. But if you say you're on Netflix, it's just like in the 80s and 90s
totally
when you say I had a half hour HBO 100%. Special. People are like, you're on HBO?
Same game.
Same thing.
Same fucking game.
So it's not just enough to say, look at my clips on YouTube. People are like, oh, no, it's like a curated thing on Netflix. Cool. So
wait, make fun of younger siblings again. It makes me feel good.
Oh, younger siblings. Younger siblings basically inherit everything from us. Clothes, 100%. Culture, money. And they're all, oh, I have my own opinions. No, you downloaded that from me.
That's right.
Like you literally took all of that from me.
I like this.
You bring nothing to the table.
That's right.
You are diet me.
That's right.
You're low calorie me.
Now, Jake, real quick, you're number what in the family of brothers?
Two, the middle.
Yes, understood. Downloaded.
My deepest apologies. My deepest condolences.
Spot, right? The middle's
that
the worst.
That is bad.
We can all agree that the middle child is disproportionately the worst situation.
Okay, can I just say
of
something?
Course you do,
wait, 30 second timeout. So
By the way, everything I thought about you has just been confirmed. I'm just kidding.
My heart breaks, by the way, because now I'm on like team empathy, because you get it so hard in every single video. Babin. My God.
You're a real
Babin. Holy
a real
shit.
Fucking fan. Babin. Like a heart.
I just want what you. Hey, SoundSpeed, you guys control the edit. You guys control the edit. Literally put in a cut where you win.
Kyle.
Every single
good news.
Run,
no, no.
Run
episode. No, no. Hassan. Kyle.
Not one
Kyle.
Thing where Babin wins.
No, no, dude.
Homeboy who no, no. fucking bring me the right jersey.
No, no.
There's
no, no.
An episode called Bring Me the Right Jersey.
Lads. Hassan.
A fucking 19.
You don't know. Wait a minute.
Can't even shave. Okay. Go get me the right jersey.
Hassan, you
oh
are.
Oh my God.
You, first of all. Your depth of knowledge of what's going on with us is amazing. You're my best friend. Let's start. Hold on. No, you're not getting to say something. You're my best friend. Number two, that's not true. I got a fun, because I know that you know so much. There's certain things you don't know. Kyle, the other day, edited an episode where the last 4.5 minutes of the episode that he submitted, the fact that he even says two, this is not a joke. This didn't make it. The last 2.5 minutes of the episode is him editing the episode. So Babin has unbelievable humility. Kyle comes out the gate at the 3rd or 4th, 7th one he's done. Yeah. He's like, you know what's a good idea? While nobody's looking, and since there's not that much content because Gary was busy, I'm going to make 50% of the video just me editing the video. He's the anti-Babin.
Right.
Babin's going humility long game. Kyle's like, fuck it. If this goes viral,
I
might be able to leave tomorrow.
Right? You're like, I got to turn in the edit.
He's like,
I got to turn in the edit. I got to turn this in. File, export, get it to Gary, just get it online.
Dude, honestly,
I got an A on the paper.
Here's what I think happened. He's like, wait, Hassan Minhaj is coming in a week. If he sees this episode, he may hire me direct. So he killed it. He went the other way. I agree. Listen, we've established it. D-Rock is grossly overrated.
Holy shit.
Yes.
D-Rock, we love you.
All right,
so.
All right, no. Now I'm going to be.
Origin story.
I'm going to do my dark horse.
This is going to be a disaster.
My dark horse pick.
AKA best episode since.
Tyler Schmidt, I want to poach you so bad.
You should.
The speed at which you deliver.
And my amazing abilities.
Is unbelievable. His text message reply game, unbelievable. Him looping it. I'm talking about just X's and O's.
Do you feel because you like Hassan so much that you probably. And the people behind him you admire so much. Do you feel that you are answering him a little bit quicker than, let's say, the people that you don't admire or think is cool? Like, that has got to be true.
So Wolf
right?
Blitzer slides into your DMs. Do you respond as fast or no?
I go crazy. If you're watching,
Wolf is great. And he took all the ball busting that I did at the White House Correspondents Center very well. So
did he?
Thank you. Wolf took it very well.
He's the best.
And I went at Wolf. And
did
that
you
was
just
good.
Slip in the correspondent? You are really. You know what? I'm super impressed. I do the same shit, but you're really good at it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, you've created context. In such a natural flow. Yeah. I do this a lot. People are so bad at I agree with you. You got to create some context. But your storytelling properly.
But think about the meetings that we go into.
Do you understand? But like
100% agree. And I know.
Like, I want to break the sixth wall or whatever. Like,
New Jersey, Wine Library, Belarus. Yes. So you got to get those in.
It's like,
you're a comedian, dude. You do sets. You basically do sets.
You know, I got so true.
You basically do sets.
I got off the record. I've got to talk to you about something that's happening in my world based on comedy agents thinking that I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
I got to really talk to you about this. Yes. I have to actually ask you something.
And the bigger question is
I think I'm the best comedian in the world. And I think I'm going to actually, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to do it. My Netflix special is going to be so, my Hulu special is going to be downloaded so many.
You're going to take a massive L on that Hulu.
No way.
You're going to pay the apps yourself on that.
That hurt.
Shots fired. That's my bad. Shots fired.
Origin story. Yes.
Child of immigrants, grew up in Northern California. grew up in Davis, California. Was a big speech and debate kid. I really loved arguments, right? Presenting your point and argument and your position. I did a thing.
Were you cliche good student?
No. I was classic, and you know this as an Indian kid. I was good, not great. So I got, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I was middle of the pack Indian, which meant I was top of the pack everybody else. But that ain't cutting it. I was destined to go to the-
Do you know about Edison and Metuchen?
Oh, you're talking about the India factory?
Yes. So
that's where they make us.
That's where I grew up.
Yeah.
And I was the immigrant as a Russian kid. And then 1985 hit. Yeah. And nine kids, last name Patel, moved that summer. And everybody was like, what? And then I was an American now because there was more immigrants, not me. I was like, this is cool. Until I realized, wait a minute, these are my people, because they were the only other hustlers. They wanted to make money.
Patels,
they like all my friends in middle school were Indian kids because they also wanted to shovel snow and wash cars and make money. But to your point, I was D's and F's. They weren't doing anything and getting straight A's. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So you were like that. Tell the truth. Thank you.
But no.
But you got straight A's. Own it. Scarlet letter A on your face.
Hang on. False.
Oh, I want to see your report card. Tyler, go. Where's my report card?
Yeah, we'll get the report card.
Where's your report card?
I'll get you the report card.
I want the report card.
This guy.
Get me the report. I want the report card.
Gary wants a PDF of everything.
What's your class rank?
I will give you.
What's your class rank, bro?
I wasn't top 5%.
Top 5? I was 267 of 273.
Yeah.
What were you?
I was probably
81.
Yeah, no, I was 519. Yeah, I was like
regional
was
high top. School. Respect.
I was top. Yeah, I was top.
All right, go ahead.
No, but I think you know what's so crazy? Because he was such an absolute failure with academics, you can hold that over anybody who got B's. You're like, you got B's, dude. You square ass motherfucker that 100%. Got B's and C's. And I'm like,
it's so crazy how entrepreneurship and like it's like gone the like I'm living in a bizarro world. I'm like, fuck this. If I was making $4,000 a weekend when I was 12 in 2017, I'd be like fucking a genius. The next this, I was getting shit on, but everybody because I didn't read Catcher in the Rye over the weekend.
So back to what we were talking about.
Did you pause because you're like, fuck, I read that in 1 hour?
No,
yeah,
no.
Guys, post edit, put A's all over his face. Jake, I want A's all over his face.
No, this is 100% why. He keeps going, he was like, there are, you guys know this, there's like 15 videos in the IG video of him being like, I was a loser. People call me a loser for getting D's and F's.
Yep.
You fucking suck.
Yep.
Then there's just like him at Complex Con doing that. Now, that being said, you're right. But I think a common theme that we talk about is I sort of hit my academic wall. And
I see.
And do you get what I'm saying?
100%.
Where it's like, oh, I can't get into
it. Was that scary or was that like, were you cool with that?
I realized, I think my freshman or sophomore year of college when I started doing stand-up, was that I can't play someone else's race, right?
Yes.
And so there's a lot of immigrants that watch you and watch this stuff. And I think if you have 10 Desi kids, all 10 of them aren't designed to be doctors.
That's right.
And yet they're forced to. And 100%. One of my really good buddies is, you know, he dropped this gem on me. He's like, how many future roomies have we lost to become electrical engineers?
100%.
Right?
I believe in that
and
so much.
And so for me...
Do you know what my fear is right now? It's going the other way.
Yeah. And I have friends telling me... Yeah, I'm really fearful.
And I want to just take this because there's some of you out there right now. Some of you should go work at Bain and McKinsey and Goldman and will crush it.
Right.
But you think this became cool and you're going to go want to start the Uber of dry cleaning.
Right.
And you're going to fucking fail. And it's and so, you know, it's just self-awareness.
Yeah. So for me, I was like, I can play the game everybody else is playing, right? And I can go to the Caribbean and do med school in the Caribbean and come back and do that thing that a lot of immigrant parents force their kids to do. Or, you know, in my freshman year, I sort of discovered stand-up comedy.
You
know,
Where were you?
No,
where'd you go to school? What city?
I went to UC Davis.
Yep.
Loser, lived at home.
Yep. Love it.
Right? Immigrant parents, let's do this. I lived, you know, T3, it was from the T3 era. Remember everybody, LimeWire, Kazaa was downloading everything?
Of course.
So I didn't have cable growing up.
You should know what this guy was doing. Fellow brother over there was fucking, should be in jail.
Right. A buddy of mine shows me, he's like, yo, this is stand-up comedy. I'm like, oh, this is the worst part of Seinfeld. I hate stand-up comedy. I didn't have cable. So all those Comedy Central half-hour specials came out, I missed. I'm like, this is the worst part of Seinfeld.
You?
I'm 32.
Keep going.
So I see Chris Rock's Never Scared. This isn't that old. That came out in 2004.
Yes.
You know, the purple suit.
Yes.
And I'm like, man, he's talking about politics, the war in Iraq, like really heavy. That's stand-up? And then it clicked for me. I go, stand-up is funny speech and debate.
Were you?
I can do this.
And were you class clownish?
No. I'm like a lot of comedians, I was actually pretty quiet, like taking stuff in, thinking about it, doing the long division in my head and being like, that's the take.
So what happened?
That's the funny thing. And then I just started doing it.
Open mics,
straight up. And
tell me about the first one.
First one actually went pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. It went.
And that was it, right?
And that was it. Yeah.
That high was
it felt like every laugh I got, and I didn't crush, but I did good enough, but every laugh
What
felt,
was the one that got, what was the bit or joke that got the best laugh in
like
the first one?
This is like,
by the way, notice how easy that comes. When it's your thing, you know every, like, yeah. I love how quick the recall was on that.
This is like an OG, hey, I live at home with my parents. I never want my dad to pick up the phone because he'll give directions to the house in the wrong way. He's like, hey, go down Montgomery. What is that? Montgomery? No, that's what I said. Montgomery. Take a left, drive past the McDonald's. You mean McDonald's? Yeah, McDonald's. Fourth house on the left. What's the address? Fourth house on the left. Click. You know, and like that got like a big, you know, like immigrant dads do this, 100%. Right? And that's like, I get it. It's a hack, whatever. But it got laughs and it felt like those moments I could see the Matrix.
What happened next? What was the next kind of like dot on the, like, right?
Google.com. How do you become a comedian? ? Go. Boom. How to become a comedian? Go to your local open mic. Sign up. If you can't, start your own open mic. I literally just did everything. Started my own show. Went to the college board. Started a comedy club. Hi, I'm Hasan Minhaj. I would like to be president of the comedy club. Are there any students at UC Davis that want to become a comedian? They issued me $10,000. I then called other bigger comedians. Hey, I'm Hasan Minhaj. I'm the president of the comedy club. Will you come to my university? I will open for you.
This is where a good thing we weren't roommates, because I'd have been like, bro, Hasan, before we spend the $10,000, I'm going to go buy a bunch of shit at Toys R Us. It's going to be $13, right. And then we're going to buy some t-shirts. Yeah. It's going to be $27.
No, you know,
we could have been Amazon.
But the thing that you flipped tchotchkes and pogs and stuff like that, right?
Yes.
I realized I can flip jokes.
Love it.
So if I build a 5-minute set,
and you,
I could do Conan, and then I could take that Conan clip.
And you could write at that point?
Yeah.
Like I'm, you know, I can't, even though I've written books. Like,
no, but to me, comedians and musicians.
I'm so improv that, like, when I think about hip hop, I always ask Boyd, I'm like, who just spits it from the dome versus who writes it?
Right, right.
Because I'm always like, oh, I'm like the spitters. Like, but you know,
so you're like a comedian that works it out on stage.
Yes.
So you'll do your set. And he'll do his same opener that he does at every single TEDx.
I'm 7 years old.
7 years old. He has his beats, right?
Yes.
And it sharpens over time.
Yes, 100%.
So he's a guy who works it out on stage.
Wait a minute. Now I'm pumped.
So to me,
who is that historically in comedy?
Chappelle. Great. I mean, he's the one of the greats.
That's what he does. Works
I mean,
it out
he's still he's
who's
still,
considered
he's still,
a work on stage comedian like
Mark Maron.
Okay. Yeah.
Chappelle.
What about although Dave does? What about Richard Pryor?
I don't know enough about.
Sure. Got it.
But Rock is very rote.
Yeah, I know.
He's like straight up yellow pad of paper. Yep. Point. And if you actually look at the transcript of what his act is, it's straight up like a legal argument.
Wow.
Right?
Super,
just straight.
Love that.
Here's the position, hypothesis, boom, evidence A, evidence B, evidence C. I'll repeat it again. Oh, you don't believe me? D, E, F.
Yeah, I know.
I'll repeat it again. Oh, you still don't believe me? G, H, I, applause, break, drop the mic.
I think my speeches have, I think I was very affected by Chris Rock and Richard Pryor. Like when I analyze myself on stage to give them a business keynote, I literally have that cadence.
Right.
Like the delivery of my point.
Right.
When people talk to me about the comedy thing, I'm like, that makes so much sense.
Right.
I listened to so much of it as a kid.
Yeah. The only difference between what you do and what we have to do with stand-ups is our shit has to be airtight.
Yeah, very much so.
There can't be lulls in between. 100%. So you know how like when you're ranting at sometimes people and there's just, it's a long,
100%.
You gotta tighten.
I totally see, it makes sense.
That's the beauty. And that's the struggle and what I love about comedy.
Yeah.
Is that from minute 0:00 to 60:00?
Yeah, I love that.
It's gotta be tight.
I love that. It's cool.
So,
do you go in the bunk like some of the characters? Like when you get ready for like when you did your special? So, how did the special go that you knew he was coming? Do you go into like the cocoon and like fucking practice and shit?
So, that was different. That was like I felt I had a really powerful, you know, to me, Homecoming King was kind of like a Brown John Hughes movie. Yes. I had a great story to tell. Yes. My life growing up. Yes. Just like, a, you know, your first hip hop album. It's your life story.
Yeah, you know everything about yes. it. It's so deep. And so, it's why I'm sad that I don't do the lemonade thing anymore because I feel like I don't want to bore anybody. So I'm like mixing it up.
Yeah.
But that was the best time because it's like fucking like, I don't know, like just telling the story.
Yeah. So for me, I just knew that it's like, okay, I got to get this right. So I started workshopping it, you know, in LA. I got hired at The Daily Show, came out to New York, workshopped it more. I then took it to Off-Broadway, did a run, did a second run. I wanted it to be like diamond tight. Then took it, did a tour around the country.
Did you have any homies 40, helping 50. You out?
I had a director.
I like when the comedians like hang together.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Oh, rad. Yeah, yeah. So I have like a core group of like people that I've worked, you know, and you can see on, you know, the credits, like head writer that I work with, like a lot of creative consultants that I run stuff by. Like, I'm not afraid of being like, hey man, is this whack? Is this good or is this bad? Counsel, just like, you know, iron sharpens, you know.
Who's the weird part of that crew? Like, who's like your buddy from sixth grade farted on you?
Right.
Anybody like that? Or is there any like left field one?
No, this is the left field one. Is, you know, a lot of the stuff we do at The Daily Show is left leaning. One of my very good friends that I always
hardcore
bring in,
right?
Hardcore right.
Love it.
And I go, look, man, just call me on it. Like, argue with me. Yeah. Like, tell me what it is. And here's the thing is like, again,
does
to me,
does he punch you?
He doesn't physically punch me. All right. Yeah, right. But like, it's funny speech and debate to me, right? So it's like, poke holes in my argument and then counter.
It's gonna make you tighter.
Counter, yeah.
I only prefer when I'm going into rooms where people think television commercials are a good idea.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Really? I mean, it's my favorite spot. Because the market, you have to be historically correct. Like you can't get high on your own supply. Like, I think that's super smart.
Right.
I'm fascinated by that.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah.
You should have another righty. You should get another one.
Oh, I have like a crew.
No,
I have a crew.
More.
Oh, of people that are like.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, it's tough. Yeah, it's tough.
You're like, damn, I don't even like one of them.
It's tough to find people that are that good and funny.
Yeah, I get it.
You can't be a troll. If you come to the circle, you got to be nice with
comedy. So what was the first breakout?
The first.
When did you feel like, oh shit, this was good?
When John, oh, my first.
For your career.
My career?
So you're doing mics. What was like the first kind of like.
So.
Like maybe the ones.
Growing up in Davis, I would drive to San Francisco. San Francisco had a big comedy competition called Wild 94.9. That's their Hot 97. Mm-hmm. Best comic standing.
Right.
Who's the best comic in the city? The best comic in the city gets to open for Comedy Jam, which is our summer jam.
Yep.
Cat Williams, Gabriel Iglesias.
Yep.
So I won that.
You did.
Yeah, and that was an 08.
Were you confident going in? Did you roll up in 08?
So for me,
and
it was
like, I'm definitely winning this shit.
No. So I'm driving the 91 Nissan Stanza.
Love it.
From our house, white.
White.
With silver. Drove from Davis to San Francisco, punchline. There's 14 other local comedians.
What are you listening to on the way up? Like some fucking like
Jay-Z
twisted?
Blueprint.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Takeover.
Twisted Sister.
We're Track two, Takeover, on repeat.
On straight repeat.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like you. I'll listen to the same song 1,000 times.
Dude, this dude.
Yeah.
He's my favorite person.
So
you're my best friend. Right. Keep going.
So
you literally know it.
No. But
I'm obsessed.
But
right
for
now.
Me, you know, and I'm sure you feel this too, is I love the scenarios of Rocky One. So I was the comedian. Oh, you from Davis, dude? Fucking Sacramento,
dude,
garbage.
Six, what about six when he?
You talking about Creed
again, or five when he goes back? No, no.
Rocky Balboa.
Creed's insane.
Rocky Balboa.
Are they doing a Drago movie?
I have no idea.
I think they are.
I think
there's a movie on just Drago.
Uh huh.
Which is fucking amazing. I'll go definitely see it.
but yeah.
Do you like six when he goes back to the beginning? Did you watch six?
That's with his son, right? And then they have the ESPN thing of like, this is what a computer generated thing would be. And he comes back and fights.
Like it's the seven.
It's called Rocky Balboa. And yes, I do like Rocky Balboa. And I love Creed.
Do you fantasize of losing everything that you've got right now and starting again?
No, you're insane. I don't fantasize about that.
You just understood. You agree with him, right?
But that's absolute insanity.
I wonder. I'm really weirded, you know.
Because I'm married. I have a family, and I don't want people
too.
To do that. Yeah, yeah.
We'll all move to a studio.
I mean, you're crazy, but
yeah.
You're
again.
Like, you guys will all be my collateral damage. But listen, the hustle, I'll be historically correct.
That's it.
You'll be 37, but Xander, I'll be historically correct. No. So
go ahead.
Yeah. So, okay. So my biggest thing that
I... So you're driving, you're listening to Jay-Z.
Yeah, and I'm just like, look, it's all upside
all
for me.
All upside.
Everybody's shitting on me. True. Like, right? It's
so
like, I have nothing to lose. I have everything 100%. To gain. So it's just
dude,
like...
you just made my fucking argument to when everybody shits on me that they knew that I was full of shit, and then I get to rise like a phoenix again on all upside. Dude, all upside is the fucking jam. You don't have all upside anymore.
The amount of intensity you have.
Like I was driving the other day.
Unbelievable.
Listen, I was driving the other day and you're fucking on the building over there.
Right.
No upside anymore, bro.
No, there still is. Because I'm.
Do you want to host like the Oscars?
I'm a role player on the show.
That's true.
So it still has yet to be seen.
Do you want to host the Oscars?
I'm not going to put my dreams out on wax.
Got it. I am going to
host. For fucking comments and people.
I think I'm going to host the ESPYs in 6 years, weirdly. I keep having this premonition, and my opening monologue is just shitting on everybody who dissed me in Vayner Sports.
Oh my God, you
Did
really
you see
are.
Michael Jordan's
as much as you hate Michael Jordan, that's very Jordan-esque.
I'm so glad I beat you to it.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I got to start saying it first before you said it because that's exactly what it is. I hate him with all my heart, but his Hall of Fame speech that is historically and universally panned as garbage.
You love it.
Love it.
Yeah, at some point you got to evolve as a human being. That's
I get
just
it.
My, that, my two cents.
Not me.
Again, takes are great. Love your take.
Keep going.
Anyways.
So you win.
So
you're the king of San Francisco.
Yeah. I get to do 5 minutes. But that at Comedy Jam.
That
was a big deal
judged?
For me. The local radio DJs. And they were, and they were just like, Hanson Menage wins. And I'm like, cool. Dude, it's perfect. Yes, you don't like me. I'm brown. I'm this. I'm blah, blah, blah.
Dude,
I drove from Davis.
The
great. Perfect.
The K on every slide and everything I'm still doing is
it's
the
great.
Only thing that excites
it's all,
me.
It's great.
100%.
Hanson Menage. Cool. I get to do 5 minutes. So I'm happy. I won. But to me, that was like a testament that like you can do this.
Yeah.
And you know.
Who was pumped? You.
Yeah.
Who's the second most pumped or who was more pumped for you than you?
My wife now.
Love it.
Who's my girlfriend now my wife.
She flipped her shit?
Yeah. I mean, my wife's the best. She was passing out flyers with me and the whole thing.
Love it.
She was like my ride or die.
Who was third most excited?
Third most? My mom.
Who was most disappointed?
My dad.
Because he was like, fuck, this means he's going to believe in this bullshit.
Yeah, he's not going to do law school. Yeah. He's not going to do all that
fuck.
Stuff. Yeah.
There goes my dream.
There goes my dream, yeah.
I can't be
And he still thinks I can be something, you know what
you know,
I mean?
I get
he's
it.
Like, yeah,
One
yeah,
day.
You can go back, you know?
When did he flip?
White House Correspondents' Dinner.
That made him lose his shit.
Yeah, man.
And it made me lose. Like, I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, he's like, man, we really did it. Mom's sitting here in a sari.
Yeah.
Like, full circle sort of thing.
Yeah.
Some of the most powerful people in the world
100%.
Are there. You know, that
Were
was cool.
Were you nervous
cool.
for that?
No.
Are you ever nervous?
Again, it was
no,
Rocky
listen,
One.
I got it.
So the whole story was nobody wanted to do it. Everybody passed. Trump's not
like,
showing up.
Right, you're like, this is
again, it's
perfect.
Rocky One for
I
me.
I totally get
so
it.
So James Corden passes because he
so
has a lot to lose.
Because I think I could have fucking slid in there. Like I would have done it in a heartbeat. And I'm not even a comedian.
I
you know?
Love your insanity.
I think I can do it.
It's unbridled. No, but it's perfect. It's
Have you ever been nervous? You were a little nervous for this.
I get nervous. No.
Okay.
I get nervous. You know what it is? When you have to hit delete on the hour. So everybody's coming up to me. They're like, when's the next special coming out? And I'm in the gym at the Cellar working on the new hour.
Okay.
And you're fat, you're flabby, the jokes aren't tight, you're not getting big applause breaks. You feel it, you're huffing and you're not in shape. But like Chris Rock right now, he's filming his special.
Yeah.
Oh my God, just like boom,
slaying
boom.
It.
Yeah. He was just at Barclays. Like he's in shape, 8-pack. Like,
yep.
I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about comedically.
Your analogy is, I'm catching it.
Yeah.
And he's not as sharp.
But comedically, he's in that zone.
Yeah.
That's the sweet spot. And here's the thing. The moment they hit end record on that special, he has to go back to zero.
That's right.
And that part.
You're only as good as your last at bat.
But that part where you're getting ready, you got to love that. The reset and that a lot of comics don't like it. They like
what about roasting? This whole thing that you characters do is really rad to me.
Right,
I like the roasting shit.
So you like Jeff Ross and the stuff he does?
Yes,
Ross is great. He's one of the he's one of the greatest.
That's like it's so cool that that's his thing.
He's R. Rickles,
100%.
You know what I mean? He's R. Rickles.
Do you do that?
That's not my lane.
Yeah.
My lane is
Will
that
you,
like-
Have you done it?
I mean, the Correspondents' Dinner is that. And the reason-
You're right.
You talk about-
but it's you're right.
No, you talk
exactly
about attention
right.
arbitrage.
That's 100%.
People love watching it to see you go up there and not get laughs and yet deliver the jokes and get groans and they laugh at home. It's Pacquiao Mayweather for
gnarly.
Politics.
Yeah, except that fight under-delivered.
I'm trying to- whatever. Rumble in the Jungle for politics.
How about Hagler-Hearns? Have you watched Hagler-Hearns?
Mm-mm.
Can somebody pull up Hagler Hearns and make sure he watches it on the way out? It's the greatest 5 minutes of boxing history.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. So.
That's that.
SF. Yeah, then what happens
then
next?
I was like, I could really do it. I moved to LA.
And then it started.
Yeah. And then it started.
Did you get a manager?
Agent, go to LA, got a manager. Yeah. And then from, 2009 to 2013 was doing my thing. Things weren't really popping the way
Who
I wanted
to. Who was the first major league player that gave you some love between 09 and 13, that gave you some encouragement? Did anybody come out of the woodworks, like a legendary comedian or a big time comedian, just give you a little love in a good way?
So all I needed, you know, my baseline was really simple. It was just like my Camry, my air mattress, and food.
Yep.
You know, I was good.
You were binary.
Yeah.
You knew it was, I get it.
You know, and my wife was like, you deserve better. But I'm like, look, I get to perform. I won.
I get it.
I won.
That's not the question.
But you're talking about people who gave me a chance.
Yeah.
So it was little blips. Yeah. So like I got to do Chelsea Lately in 09. Yes. That was a big deal. Yes. You get to sit on the panel.
Yes.
I booked like a recurring character on a show in like 2010, 2011.
What was that?
So it's like, it was on a show on ABC Family. And
what
then
was it called?
State of Georgia. State of Georgia.
I'm like, oh, there's something. No. We got to spend the rest of the episode.
I don't go into that.
The friction of that.
But little levels up. But I think the big difference maker for me was when I started doing my own thing and putting stuff up on YouTube, sketches. And then I started doing these things called The Truth with Issa Minaj, which is basically like me to camera giving my take on a particular topic thing.
Yes.
And that really like got wild, massive attention, bigger than like being on a TV show. But then the thing
you mean like this podcast versus Planet of the Apps?
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
That?
Yeah.
I heard of it.
But the massive level up, 100%. The Rockefeller chain was Jon Stewart.
Yeah. And how did that go down?
Michael Che leaves The Daily Show, goes to SNL.
Yes.
There's an open slot, right? There's usually 5 to 6 correspondents on the show. They had seen some of my stuff. They called me in.
Did you like submit? Were you in the zone when you got that call?
No. So for me, I was like, I saw the news.
Yeah.
I knew that an audition would be happening. And this is again where, you know, as immigrants, you have to over deliver always. You just have to be a 14 out of 10. So the audition was, hey, just put yourself on tape and do this script, do this Jason Jones chat. I'm like, fuck that. I shot my own field piece, whole field piece. I'm talking about me in a suit, interviewing people, the whole thing.
How'd you look in the suit?
Good, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Did the field piece. And then also, I did my audition, but I shot it on a green screen, and I edited it in such a way that it looked like John was interviewing me. And that was just like,
Was it a 14? Was it a 15 out of
10? Out of 10? It was like 16.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I mean, I'm telling
you, to me,
I was like, put everybody's Vimeo link against mine. When you hit play on that thing.
Oh, that's like some comedy gangster shit, right?
Yeah.
Like, put your Vimeo link.
Dude, when
mine.
I see people, that like randomly message Gary, oh, I'm nice, I'm this, I'm that. I go, look, man, you better pull out your iPhone. You're nice at video editing. You better go, hey, play. 100%. And that shit better play. And it better be.
Or have a ridiculous mustache.
Incredible. Or you know, like people who talk shit like that. It's like, you got to be able to back it up.
Should we do calls? Yeah. Good. Get some calls. Facebook, put in your phone numbers. We're going to do some calls in a minute.
But that was like life changing. And then got
when
the call
to
come in. That was in 2014. And that's when I moved out here. That changed my life.
It's cool, man.
Changed my life. Yeah.
You're going to be a humongous player. Your framework's right. Now it's just a matter of time.
Hopefully, God willing, man.
Yeah, just
we'll
help
see.
Now.
Yeah, I mean.
Seriously. It's so weird like that. It's so funny how that is. It's really mindset and framework and like humility.
Yeah, man.
Dude, your humility is such a fucking strength. It's so cool. Do you feel like you ever, who's this? Dixon.
Dixon?
Yeah. Dixon.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Gary Vaynerchuk and you're in the Ask Gary V Show with Hassan.
Oh, hey Gary, what's up, man?
Life is good.
Hey man, how are you?
Hey Hassan, what's up?
What's happening? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm going good, man. Oh fucking shit, I can't believe this.
No, it's all good. It's all good. You got a question? We're here. We're not going.
Fuck,
don't worry about God right now.
Fuck.
No, dude, don't do this.
You're making us look like we're nervous. Don't do this.
Dixon, real quick. What did you think was going to happen when you put your phone number into Facebook?
Oh, I just scrolled on the comment section. I couldn't find my number when I opened it on my laptop. So I was about to type it again, but I don't know. My heart is pumping at 158 per minute.
How do you know that? Do you have some sort of device on you right now?
I don't know. I can't figure it out. I don't know if it's a day or a night. I'm seeing a call from Gary Vee. Fuck!
Dixon, do you have a question?
Oh, yeah, I have a question. You know, both of you right now, you know, the combination is like the legend, two legends speaking at a time.
Oh, my God. So, this guy's very smart. Go ahead, Dixon.
Oh, I'm sharing, man. Okay.
Don't worry, we're here. Unlike comedy where there's no down, you know, Hassan already told us, no like downside or like no, you got to be tight for 60
Yeah, there's a
seconds.
Lot of lulls going on right now, Dixit.
Dixit, we're on stop. We're very into lulls. We want long, awkward pauses to build up suspense. So you take your time, fire away with your question.
Oh, yeah. So the thing is, I'm an aspiring comedian. I'm writing my own shit right now.
Man.
And that's the question to Hassan. And I just need an advice because, you know, someday, 5 years down the line, I want my own Netflix, you know, filling stadiums and stadium around the world.
So Dixit, you want Netflix?
A special.
You want stadium tours like Kevin Hart shit, right?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And Gary, my question for you is, you know, I've been associated with this, you know, best network marketing company in the world. And I want to be a full throttle, a financial freedom in the next 5 years. Right now I'm 24. I want to be financially free by 30. I don't want to work for the rest of my life.
Hassan's going to answer your other question. I'm going to tell you, do not make up arbitrary numbers of financial freedom. The quickest way to not be financially free by 30 is by deciding right now that you want to be financially free by 30.
That's a good point.
Okay.
What you need to do is look every day as a day of like Dixit, don't buy a dumb coffee for $4.13 tomorrow. Understood?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, Hassan.
Yeah. So you want a Netflix special?
You want stadiums,
and you want
bro.
To do stadium too. All right. So I think the bottom line is you wanting to be financially free by 30 is
lot easier than fucking
yeah,
did.
Man. Look, man.
How many people do stadiums at this point? Kevin Hart.
Two, three?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's so
two
hard.
Two or three, it's tough.
Dixit, do you understand that you're asking for obnoxiousness by doing stadiums?
No. You can want it. You gotta be that good.
By the way,
yeah.
I don't think it's impossible.
Yeah.
I do think it's an obnoxious ask.
So yeah, man, you gotta get up on stage as much as possible. You have to be the best in your city, state, country. You gotta be one of the best comedians in the world. So you gotta devote your life to it.
Oh, okay.
Are you getting up every night?
Oh yeah. I've been writing, you know, random thoughts, you know, meeting random people and creating situations in a way that
are you getting on
and
stage?
And we gotta talk about
night.
These situations you've been creating. Go ahead.
Are you getting on stage every night, man?
No, I've just been stage, you know, maximum 3 times. You know, I'm an Indian student.
Okay, good.
You know, have been here in US since last 3 months, and since 3 months I've been on stage 3 times. So you know, it's the kind of freedom that gives me to go on the stage.
So right yeah, now. Man, you I'm just do that. Everything you can. You got to get up on stage every night, and you got to do multiple sets a night. So that's it. And record your sets, listen to your sets, make notes, and every single day you got to monitor that, and you got to make sure you write and or verbally record your thoughts and workshop your material and build your set and make it really, really tight.
Dixit, how's it felt on stage the 3 times you've been on?
I didn't get you to get it. Can you repeat?
Of course. How did it feel the first 3 times? How'd it go? Did it go well? You know, I give you a lot of credit. So many people stay at zero. So you got me fired up right now that you've done it 3 times and you've only been in the US for 3 months. Like, you've got me a little excited right now. I was just curious, how did it go?
Oh, it was amazing. It was a cultural
awesome.
Event. I went on the stage in front of 1,000 people, and you know, I have
Whoa.
You know developed a knack where you know I can come up with the on the spot you know topics and on the spot stand up topics which bursted people to laugh at the first
He's
time when
the
I went
of
on
the
stage.
With Gary.
So you know, at all, you know, this is a gut feeling for me, entrepreneurship and stand up comedy.
Dixit, I want you to email me at Gary@VaynerMedia, and when you perform in New York, I'm coming.
Sure.
That's
oh
crazy.
My God.
I'm coming. Where are you now?
Oh, I'm in Arizona, Tempe, Phoenix. I'm a grad student at ASU.
Okay, fantastic, man. You, Gary@VaynerMedia, send me an email, okay?
Yeah, sure. You can stay at my apartment, man, please.
Okay, I'm going to come to your apartment. I'm going to stay there. Tyler, book it. All right, Dixit, thank you. That was amazing. Dixit, when you come to New York and
that
you stand up,
crazy.
I'll be there. Cool, no
you
problem.
Basically-
you can stay in my apartment. He's funny.
Yeah.
Dixit is funny.
Dude, you do a lot of like, you basically do Make-A-Wish stuff for your fans.
I like that stuff a lot.
Yeah.
Dude, only because
That's cool,
like,
man.
Honestly,
That's
because
really
like,
cool.
You know why? I wrote a piece called the Ricky Henderson. Ricky Henderson winked at me once, I think.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
basically winked at the general vicinity of where I was sitting.
Uh-huh.
And that was 1985.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like if Al Toon
yeah.
ever took a selfie with me,
yeah.
I'd still be looking at
right.
it right now.
It's like LeBron when he does the thing with the, you know, how the.
Oh, LeBron's so fucking.
With kids.
LeBron's the reverse Jordan.
What do you mean?
Jordan's the worst human.
Okay.
LeBron's a great human.
Okay.
Cool. Let's keep going.
<All right. laughs>
I look for any angle to destroy Jordan. It's really amazing. What's Anik? All right.
Damn, we're popping.
Hello.
Anik, this is Gary Vaynerchuk, and you're on with Hassan Minhaj.
What's up, Gary? What's up, Hassan?
What's up, Anik?
What's up, y'all? This is Anik, like y'all friend Anik.
What's up?
Y'all for a second.
I love it, man.
That's
you're
so
good.
Cool.
Anik, dude, first of all, Anik, when are we having dinner in Queens? Earlier in this podcast, Tyler was commended for his amazingness. Please shit on Tyler right now for all of us.
Yeah, listen, you both need to come to Queens to eat with your hands, and then we're going to have to show Tyler how to actually
I owe him.
You owe him too?
Yeah, I'm supposed to eat with him.
I swear on my life, I've got like 6 days in New York before the end of the year, right? Anik, can we go late? Can we like start eating at like 11 p.m.?
Not at the best spot. The best spot we would have to eat like around 8. But I got some other spots if you still want to do that. I just wanted y'all to have some really good Bengali food, though.
I want to have the best.
Yeah. Which, so I don't think.
Gary's such a millennial right now. He's like, I want the best one on Yelp.
I do. Is it a 3.5 star?
You're not going to find these places on Yelp. I'll tell you that much.
That's shit.
Yeah.
Anik, how's the music going, man?
It's going great, man. It's going
really
good.
Are you a song a day, Anik? You got to do a song a day, otherwise it doesn't count.
Man, I'm doing a joke a day. What y'all talking about?
Anik, what's going on with the music, man? Like, while you're on, I want to make sure. By the way, Anik, did you see how many fucking people followed you after I gave you love on Insta?
Yo, you brought that check up, bro. I'm not going to lie to you.
Dude, by the way, your stuff is so fire. Like, obviously, I've been listening a lot. I've been flying a lot lately and just really, like, the Kites program is, like, you know, Cleopatra, I listened to 39 times in a row on one flight. 39 times in a row. How many times did you listen to it in a row?
I listened to it like once.
By accident.
Like once, twice?
By accident?
No, but I privately messaged him. Anik, did I not? Well, I was like, hey, how'd you get the sample on this Bollywood sample? Like, I actually listened and was like, yeah. But I didn't go 39. Gary, but that's crazy. Gary's actually a very good dude. This is actually very
I'm a very nice person.
Gary is holding it down.
Listen, Tyler, before the end of the year, I need to go eat this food. We need to document it. I'm going to steal all of Toronto Tartar's followings. I'm going to take a picture of the food, go cliche Insta. Anik, I'm going to make you a promise. I've never taken a food fucking photo on Insta. When we go to your spot, I'm going to do one for fucking real. The lighting is going to be on point. It's going to look savory as shit. And I'm going to write some copy that's going to make people's fucking head explode.
You're
going to
go portrait mode on the photo?
Queens is the first place I came to.
Wow.
Anik, what's going on with the music? Are you fucking hustling or are you kind of like bullshitting and calling in random fucking podcasts, calling in shows?
No, man, I'm doing what I can. Hassan know what I'm talking about. We just already talked about something recently. I called because I wanted to ask y'all something because this shit ain't about me. I called about y'all because I'm very inspired by the
book. Man, that's cool.
Man, I'm serious. Listen, so like, for example, like my question though, for real, is, you know, music and comedy have went hand in hand, right? And like Chappelle has been very successful at that integration and stuff like that.
Yes.
So like, how do you guys feel about like the intersection between comedy and music? And like, do you think we should start seeing more tours and shows like from both sides of the coin? I know the guy before was talking, you know, like doing stadiums in, you know, as a comedian it's like very few and far between, but I don't know. I feel like if you were taking music and comedy and doing that.
Can I nerd out on this one?
Both those
audiences. But I have to say one quick thing.
Okay, so go Gary.
Anik, if you do a tour with Dixit, I will go to every show in every city. Go ahead.
Okay. Put Dixit on the line.
All right. So this is just my take on it. I think that musicians and comedians are very like simpatico in terms of the way we think, the way we work, the way we operate, and the way we write and produce stuff. That being said, music shows and comedy shows have to be set up very differently. Like
mindset of the end consumer?
It's just the mindset of the audience. Like I've been asked to perform, to open up before a hip hop show. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
So smart.
Because you'll come out there and people are like, bring Nas out. I don't want to see you talk about politics. And so like, to me, the only person who's executed that flawlessly, and this is just a testament to how great he is as a comedian, is Chappelle. Chappelle is such a savant at having a comedy audience go to music, not the other way around. So a comedy audience is already low key and they're in a good sort of mellow vibe to then go, all right, Chance the Rapper's coming out. All right, Lauryn Hill's coming out. Okay, Lil Wayne's coming out. You can ramp up. You cannot take a hip hop show and ramp it down to musings on political America. That's just what it is. But
the two of you are clearly going on tour, right? You two are going on tour. That's real, right?
Oh, me and Anik?
Yeah.
No, we got it, but we got to collab on something. I just think that like the way we vibe creatively is a thing where the two can. I actually think a place where comedians and musicians can
coexist. Do you think Anik is going to get real big?
I think he has the potential to be as big as he wants to be.
I love that answer. Anik, do you think you're going to get really big?
I think I have the potential to be as big as I want to be.
Yeah, that's what it is. I think he's
what
just.
What the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
Did you just fucking Jedi?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Wait a minute, you're up. That was good.
Yeah.
I need to learn that one. That was good. Like, I'm into that shit.
Like, dude, he gets it, man. Like, yo, we're super pragmatic as Daisies. It's you got to just maximize your talent.
I love it.
How much do you have in your ACL? You know what I mean? Like, how 100%. High can you jump?
Yep.
Just push it to what it needs to be. That's it.
I think one thing Hassan says a lot that I really, really agree with is the fact that as foreigners, as immigrants, like we just gotta be five times better than everything. Yeah. We just have to become that shit has to be like insanely awesome just to be compared as a good or whatever the fuck
you
mean. Yeah,
look, situation. Honestly, I'm gonna jump in here on this one. I think that's right-ish. I think it's the right mindset to have.
Yes.
I think it's the right mindset to have, but I think the market is the market is the market. So
yeah.
What I love about what both of you do is there are gatekeepers in 1982, mm-hmm. right? They're like, oh, fuck these brown guys. I'm not even gonna put them on.
Right, right, right.
You went to fucking YouTube, right?
Right.
The reason I want him to fucking put out music is Spotify doesn't give a fuck if you're white and fat from Oklahoma or, you know, some guy from, like, it's an amazing time to be alive.
Yeah, yeah.
The end.
Yeah.
That's just real.
Right.
Oh, you know what we need to do? If you're around at 11, you need to come to a comedy show. And then Anik comes out and then the fact that you're going to studios in the middle of the night, comedy is operating at that same time. You should come to a comedy show.
Only if Anik comes with me and Dixit.
Listen, can we do the comedy, the Bengali food, all of that at the same time with all of us?
Yeah, we need to really chop it up.
That's gonna be hard to coordinate.
We're gonna do it. Tyler, stop being a dick face and get Anik some time.
Jeez,
you've really just
Bavin,
Tuesday, December 12th, Anik. I'll hit you up. 10-2. Love
all right,
you.
Bring us on. Bring my twin cousin. I'll see y'all later.
All right, see ya. I love, dude. I think that kid is so talented. I'm dying for it. Like, you know what's fun about music and maybe the same thing. I think actually it's like the keynote, it's like a set.
Yeah.
What's amazing about doing some sort of art or to people is the high of this could be the night everything changes.
Yeah.
I love that literally tonight he could go into studio, produce and make a song, put it on SoundCloud and it might be the moment. Totally. I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah.
There was one of your videos that you put up on YouTube that was better than the other.
Yeah,
it happened to me. It was the episode where I went to the supermarket and tasted a bunch of food. Oh, actually, how the fuck did I not tell you this? Talk about a real humble brag. So I'm doing fucking Wine Library TV in 2017. Right. Excuse me, 2007.
Okay.
I do an episode where I taste a bunch of weird food with wine, like Twizzlers and dirt and all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
Conan O'Brien's people see it and invite me to be on Conan.
Right.
Now this is YouTube 2007.
Yeah.
So like the internet had not crossed, like Tila Tequila and Dane Cook in your world, right?
Right,
a couple people from MySpace had done us something, right?
Right.
Perez Hilton, there's like three people on from the internet to mainstream. So I get on Conan, it's like this thing.
Yeah, I saw this, I saw it, you did good.
Right.
You did really good. You had the Jets spit bucket.
Yes.
Yeah.
What was crazy about that is you probably know this, some people don't. I've done a lot of TV stuff and people like to rehearse. Ellen rehearsed, Today's Show, they all rehearse. He didn't. Like.
So you took advantage of that because it placed your strengths.
Dude, I knew nothing. They're just like I didn't even know people rehearsed. I'd never done television in my entire life.
Right.
I'm in the green room taking pictures with my mom. We made it, you know.
I'm on Conan.
It was like brain twist. Like the whole internet, like fucking dig first page, like the weird things. Like everybody was like, holy shit, this vlog, right?
Yeah.
I go out
and
there.
Then he wrote everybody back from high school. I didn't get lucky.
That's right.
Worked every single fucking day of my life.
Dude, I honestly think we have a real concept here of you doing impressions of me. I think we can go viral as fuck.
But
I'm about to watch your special 39 times in a row, and I'm going to start doing impressions of you.
I would be truly honored if you watch my special.
That's 100%.
I know you don't watch it, but
I don't watch anything.
If you watch my special, that'd mean a lot.
Who's watched the special here? Don't fucking lie. Love it. Everybody's about to. Isn't this the best? See, there's still more to go. You were right. I was wrong. I do the skit with him.
Okay.
It's over.
Okay.
He looks at me and he goes, "Where do you do comedy?"
Oh,
thought the wine thing was a skit.
like a character.
Yep.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, because your energy was very high and you were doing a thing. You had the wristband. And
that dude, Dixit, was talking about 185. Yeah. I think my heart was doing 490. Why did you? I was so fired up. The wristbands.
Yeah, why did you do a lot of wristbands then?
Because I used to play basketball a lot with wristbands. Like at that time.
But you would be in an Oxford with wristbands.
Yeah.
That's how I knew you were really crazy. Like you were like, oh, this is a good look. Straight up, button up, Dockers, wristband. All right.
Straight up, shaved head.
Yeah, not yeah. Then, insane. Like, right, an insane got? Person.
Who's, what else are you consuming content-wise? Go ahead. Like whether it's on Netflix, Hulu, you know, Instagram, like what content are you consuming?
I just watch stuff to just, to take a quick break after I'm done working on stuff. I don't watch stuff.
I understand.
Movies and that's waste
like,
of time.
It's almost like
what does that have to do with me? Oh, you see Game of Thrones? What does that have to do with me? I gotta write my jokes.
I get it.
But you know what I mean?
With the ambience, do you think you pick up on nuances of
yeah,
culture?
I walk past people's cubes and I see the white headphones and I see what they're watching. Oh, you're watching cool? Okay, got it. Too. Yeah, yeah.
Who's this? Hassan?
Oh, another one?
Hassan Minhaj?
It's me from the future.
Hey, you reached Hassan Jamil. I'm unable to attend the phone right now, but if you can please leave your name and your number.
Go ahead, go. Do your thing.
As soon as I can. I'm not able to. Bye bye.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hassan, it's Gary V. You really fucked up and hurt Hassan's feelings. See ya. All right, let's go to another one.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Now here's the question.
Dude.
Oh, in the comment section,
man,
how many people think
crazy.
He's gonna save that or delete it? Please leave a comment. Save or delete, save or delete. Thoughts?
You're just an insane person, but I love it. I mean, I love it. You have the right amount of, insane. You know what I mean, drive. It's it, you know, insanity and whatever, reality, walk on this.
What about genius? I was hoping you were going to go genius.
Genius,
thank you, thank
yeah.
You,
yeah
thank you.
Genius. Yeah, yeah, there we go, yeah, yeah. It's on a tightrope.
What about movies and things like that nature? How do you think about those
so
things?
So what I'll do is I'll wait for like, again, like I'll be on hiatus, just the way you take November's off and you're with
yes.
family. So I'll be like, all right, I'll watch Get Out. Everybody's talking about Get Out. I'll go watch Get Out. Everybody's talking about Stranger Things. All right,
no, I'm
finally done, so I'll take time to watch.
You doing movies.
I've done movies.
But like, how do you think about it going forward?
I'll tell you in a second.
Who's this? Sadell. Sadell?
Yeah, this is Sadell. Yeah.
This is Gary Vaynerchuk. You're on the Ask Gary Vee show.
Holy shit.
It's real.
Amazing.
Do you have a question for Hassan or me?
The question's for you.
Okay.
So
can you say hi to Hassan?
Yeah. Hey, Hassan. We've actually met. Like a few years ago.
That's what's up.
No, hold on. I need the story. How did it go? Was Hassan mean in person?
No. He's super cool. I went to the Daily Show and I met him later on after the show.
Did you guys take a picture? Or was it a quick thing because he was running to something? Or how'd it go down?
Yeah. No, he had another show that night. So he was headed out.
Well, and did you like think about maybe like, because you liked him so much, to maybe go to that show and support him? Or were you like selfish and just went home and did nothing?
No, I had to fly back. I'm actually not from New York. So
respect.
I had to fly back home. But I was absolutely going to be there if
Good
I was
story.
Still in town.
Good story. Okay, question.
Cool. Yeah. So for me, Gary, I love all your shit, but I'm not, you know, trying to be an entrepreneur. I just want to have that hustler's mentality.
Okay.
So when you talk about trying to be the number 16 at Facebook
yes.
or, you know, number 2 at this company, how do you go about doing that and how do you reverse engineer that goal?
So are you talking about catching the tiger by the tail, like finding a Zucks or a Sokka or Mark Benioff, or is that where you're going?
Yeah. For me, I mean, my big goal is to be like one of the top digital minds at a top company.
Understood. So a couple hacks. Number one, I'm a big fan of somebody that's done it before, right? So there's a lot of, so like when Elon's like, I'm going to do Tesla. That was probably a good idea to figure out what, if anything, you could have brought in value to that person and that company, because Elon through PayPal and other things showed you that he had that. Oh, look who's here. Hey, D-Rock.
The man, the myth, the legend, D-Rock.
So I think that
I love it.
Eat that, Babin. And I think that I would be high, and I mean really high, on looking at somebody who's doing another rodeo after a successful one. I'm a big fan. Number two, do you have the same beliefs that I have around voice? If you do, finding founders that are building on top of Alexa or Google Home because you believe so much in the thesis.
Sorry, I don't know that.
Alexa, stop. You know, so much of the thesis of that. So I think that's important. So I think there's a couple ways. Number one, somebody who's done it before, doing something new, you think they're a ninja, even though they built a great food company, even though they're starting a t-shirt company, they've been there, they've done that, and people are betting against them, and you jump on that. Number two, you believe in a trend so much, cryptocurrency, voice, something else, that you jump on that. Number three, just intuition that you were mesmerized by an individual, and even though they're talking about selling, you know, cricket protein snacks in 2022, you just believe.
Mm-hmm. And once I find that, it's, you know, you're talking about trying to get in touch with them and working behind them, or just following them?
No, following them for what? No, I think you need to follow them and figure them out and know how they tick and what they need, and then figure out if you can provide that, and then pound them with the narrative that you can provide that. Like DM Karen and be like, hey, I'm a digital marketer. Your protein shake made out of crickets is phenomenal. I will blow up your Snapchat, and I'm great with Pinterest pinfluencers, and I'm great on YouTube, right?
I like that.
Yeah.
So like, know your skill. And by the way, your skill might just be that you're a hustler and you have great work ethic. Like a lot of the people in this room right now, I picked on hustle and work ethic. Or they hacked it and created a viral video on Reddit that got my attention. Then we interviewed. And there's been other people that have gotten my attention through hacking and put out content. Like, he put out content.
His video is great.
Right. So like, you know, that worked. But I've had other people I've met after they've hacked and the interview didn't go well. Like, there's a million different versions. I think tenacity and really trying to understand what that person needs at that moment. The amount of people that have gone on to build empires after being in the mailroom or bringing coffee for 3 years is remarkably high. They had the humility to be studio mattress food because they knew what they were up to.
Got it.
So I love where you're going with this. You're already ahead of the game that you've sniffed out self-awareness that I'm not a one. I'm so happy that you've taken a hold of my thesis of being number 416. These are real things. There are so many people that have done so much happiness for them and their families on being right about this thesis. Now you've got to do two things. One, be right, which is hard, but I gave you three ways to look at it. Number two, have tenacity to get in.
And
that doesn't mean spamming the person. The amount of people that are in my inbox, Tyler, you know this, email number 97, that's not going to work. If the first 96 didn't work, we're deleting you. How do you bring value? You're not going to sheer will your way in just like, I'm going to spam you to that.
Right.
Yeah. So with that balance, I guess, is your goal to kind of take the time to figure them out, do the kind of grunt work and then hit them a few times? Or should I try to kind of push myself against these people?
Every person's different. There's a lot of people that are completely turned, like AJ, my brother, who's a winner, is turned off by the things that I'm turned on with. Like, I like tenacity. So you have to know the person. You have to know them. Now, that's why I get pounded so much, because I say that I like it, but the truth is, only one is gonna get through the 10,000, 15,000. So you have to be thoughtful. Another thing I would recommend, for example, let's say you wanted to hack Hassan and just wanted to work for free because you wanted to be a comedian and you love his jam, right? When he has the next special coming out, in that month or two leading up to it, he's on because he wants it to be successful. Right. That's exactly when he may need something. I have a book coming out, January 30th, right? Pre-order it now.
I'm
gonna want it to be successful. This is an awfully good time to hack me.
Or if you can impress the people around him.
Very good point.
These guys are your eyes and ears.
100%.
He doesn't watch Stranger Things, but if they do, they're like, have you heard of Stranger Things? He's like, I got it.
So, I know those weird kids.
No, but like,
I'm kidding.
They're your chief of staff, right?
100%.
So if like you can get to their chief of staff to
go, that's right.
Hey, here's the pitch.
But not D-Rock, his filter's terrible. He's been wrong pretty consistently. But everybody else.
Yeah, I already followed Tyler and Babin and D-Rock.
There you go.
Unfollow D-Rock and you're on your way.
All right, you know what? Dark horse is Babin. You can go to Babin now. Now you can go to Babin.
So we need to be friends.
Let's do it.
I really like it.
I'm ready and available.
You really think you're going to be big time, don't you? Tell the truth.
No.
Tell me the truth.
It all depends on how hard I work.
But you do intuitively feel it.
What do you, like...
Like, does it
this
feel...
This is... No, no, no. 30 seconds. That's just a bad... I don't like the question.
Okay, good. I'm going to ask it again.
Okay.
Do you intuitively feel that you're... I mean Do you... I mean this. I
believe in myself, but I know there's variables outside of my control.
100%.
Yeah. So that's
But do you believe if the variables that are outside your control do not happen, the death of your wife, cancer, like real shit.
Right.
Do you believe then it is a... Of course.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you believe then it is a foregone conclusion?
Yes, because it's a game of my mind.
Cool.
So if I stay with it, as long as, you know, Dick Gregory and the greats. Yeah.
I really, you know, I'm fat. What do you think that is? I'm serious right now. I want to have this conversation with you.
But the thing I don't like about that question.
Go ahead.
No, here's what I don't. I fundamentally don't like about that question is all of these things are predicated on when I get the Netflix special, when I do this. No. You get to do comedy. The set I get to do tonight at 7:20 p.m. is the win. Dude, I'm not an engineer. I'm not a doc. I won. Period.
I get
it. So it being predicated on, so you're going to be really huge. You're going to be bigger than X.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
To me, it's just been about the work.
You're in house money full time.
Full time. As long as Bina and my family were good, then we're good.
I totally get it, man.
So, yeah. So like to me, putting it on those things, I want to maximize my ability.
I understand.
So the challenges are, can I turn around my next hour instead of within 3 years? Can I do it within a year and a half and have it be as good
as I get
it? That stuff.
I don't want to own the Jets. I want to try to.
Yeah, there you go.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it so much.
Yeah.
But I would lie if I didn't say it feels weird to know how this is going to play out outside of a real tragedy. I'm fascinated by that. I'm not unaware. Like, I'd be full of shit if I didn't say, holy fuck, dude. I'm literally going to be much bigger than Oprah. Like I just know that truth.
Right.
But I also know tomorrow I could get hit by a bus.
Hello?
Right? Or D-Rock could lose his beanie right now and it could make me very upset and I never recover. Yes, hello, who's this? Shobi?
Oh, wow. Yes, this is Shobi, wow.
Shobi.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
I like the fact that you have a LeBron James cover photo on your Facebook, but is it intriguing to you as much to me that it's the Miami Heat LeBron James? Are you from Miami or is that a special moment?
No.
Or have you not changed your Facebook cover in 7 years? Tell the truth.
That's my role model. As soon as he went to Miami, I've been there and I haven't changed it. That's my favorite athlete of all time, so he's an inspiration. So
where do you live?
I leave it on there. I live in Houston, Texas.
You need to be a Rockets fan, bro. Fuck that.
I am. I'm a Rockets fan. I love the Rockets, but LeBron, that's my favorite player. I still need time to believe in James Harden.
Interesting, okay.
Yeah. But real quick, Houston versus the Cavs in the finals, who are you rooting for?
Please don't tell me Houston.
Lying is the devil. Houston versus the Cavs in the final this year, who are you rooting for? Tell the truth.
I love the Rockets, but I have to go with LeBron.
Come on, man. Yeah. Okay.
Let's hang up on him.
By the way, we're going to call him back.
We need to settle in for a second because I'm upset.
You need to host the presidential debates.
I do?
What you just did there, Lester Holt, none of those guys did. The holding the feet to the fire of, listen, man, you're from Houston. You got to, you know what I mean?
You know what's crazy about this?
You have to host the presidential debates.
I think you're right. I do. I think I would crush it.
That level of like conviction of like 100%. You're beating around the bush. Hang up. Next candidate. I'm 100%.
Should we call him back?
Or we could call Hassan back.
Fuck Hassan. He went to voicemail. At least he answered truthfully. Okay. Let's go back to him. I want Hassan to forever listen to that voicemail. I'm actually curious we may have to call Hassan real quick because I'm just curious why he didn't pick up. But let's go back to, who was that again? Yeah, we gotta go back to him. You're disappointed. I knew it was LeBron. I knew it was the Cavs.
Totally.
That's why I had to go there. I knew
it. I have a big problem.
You know what
with
I like
this.
About you? You were optimistic. You were so, you know what? I love you for wanting it to be the Rockets.
Yeah.
I knew it was the fucking Cavs.
I know.
You knew it too?
Yes.
You're trying to. Okay, Shelby, we feel better now. We decided to not
Listen,
hang up
Shelby,
on you.
You gotta pick and stick. You can't be like, I know a lot of guys, like, you know, the bandwagon Dubs fans. Like, you gotta not do that.
Shobi, do you feel that you use LeBron James to instill some self-esteem? Like, this is my big thesis. I believe a lot of kids in America
are Patriots and Golden State Warrior fans. Oh my God.
Because they need to feel that winning mentality. Do you feel when you were young, as all of us, with the insecurities, you gravitated towards the easy win of the Miami Heat?
Well, not 100%, because when we lost against Dallas, I still have LeBron's back.
It's not and we,
I,
dude. You live in Houston, bro.
Yeah, bro.
It's not we. You gotta rock
it's
with
okay,
Houston.
It's okay, but everyone hated on LeBron, and I did not care. He's still
the
best player.
The country did not hate on LeBron.
What? Wait, wait, wait. No, no.
Nobody bigger, even had a
no,
feeling
no, no,
of
the bigger
the
question is, no. The bigger question, what year were you born?
89.
Dude, you got Clutch City. 93, you got back-to-back
no,
champions.
No, he was a kid. That's, you're wrong.
No,
you wanted to just say that punchline. He was fucking four. He doesn't remember. He
four
doesn't,
and five?
He doesn't know Hakeem Olajuwon if Olajuwon shit on him right
by
now.
By the time Pippen and Barkley came over. This is bullshit. By the time you're seven years old, you can watch, Gary. Come on,
man.
You know
Houston,
that. Pippen, second or third grade. Wait,
listen,
he's
about to, wait a minute. It's about to get worse. You were a Houston fan when Pippen and Barkley were there until you realized how much of a loser Pippen is, right?
No, I was in Seattle. I was rolling with Sean Kemp at that time. I was in Seattle at that
How
time.
How are you
I was
not a Thunder fan? You needed to go
what's
with
going
that
on?
Move.
I can't. I don't know what's happening.
I can't.
I don't know what's happening.
Hey, people. Hey, any
Can
everyone
we just
that was
question?
Not
on
Chicago.
I don't
no,
figure
Hassan,
this out.
I want to figure this out more than
this
anything.
Is
go
sports
ahead.
23andMe. Like, oh, let's
people,
figure.
People.
Where is your ancestry.com?
People
Gary,
for,
no.
People like Jordan.
ROI negative,
like Jordan,
Gary. It's an ROI negative.
No.
D-Rock, record this is a waste of time.
No, he's right. No. Listen. Are you listening to this? He said people. What you're saying, how do you pronounce your name? Because I want to get it right.
So my nickname is Shobi, so Shobi's fine.
Thank you. Shobi, what you were saying to Hassan is people rooted for Jordan and the Bulls, but they weren't from Chicago, correct?
Exactly.
Okay, Shobi, here, just real quick, and Hassan says he knows everything, which, by the way, I'm so fucking flattered. I just want to say it on the record. I am so flattered by how much you know about my stuff. Thank you. I mean it.
Okay,
seriously.
You're welcome.
Seriously.
Much love,
it means a lot.
Much love.
Shobi. Okay. The only people that rooted for Jordan outside of Chicago are fucking losers.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, man.
No, I'll help you. Fucking losers. Let me tell you why, Shobin. You'll love this because you're a winner and we're going to make you a Rockets fan tonight. Listen to me. Here's why. If you need to root for a team outside of your own city because their winning subsidizes your lack of winning, you by definition are a loser.
I can't. I respect what you're saying.
You
but
see where I'm going?
Did you,
I could be totally
you,
wrong,
see,
but I know.
Did you
I'm right.
see James Harden's performance against San Antonio? He's a regular season offensive like beast, but when it comes to the playoffs, he disappeared. I don't believe
I
in James
Harden
100% yet.
Bro, most of my relatives and best friends are massively flawed, but they're fucking mine.
Oh shit, that's some immigrant shit right there. That's some immigrant shit.
Do you understand?
Right there.
Right.
The end.
No, they don't get it, Gary. Come on, man.
I know. Listen.
My thing is pick and stick.
But he didn't pick and stick. He was a Seattle fan.
I know, and that's the flaw. So,
no, I was never a Seattle fan.
Can we do the question?
Oh, wait, hold on. This is getting better. This is fun.
It's
NBA chatter. I've never liked it more. Wait, you were never a Seattle fan. You were born in Seattle. You mentioned Sean Kemp. I wish you mentioned Gary Payton, one of the few athletes that shares my name. But what did you do when you were first a kid?
I mean, my brother, growing up, he was a huge NBA fan, and he was riding with Jordan, so...
Well, let's stop with that for a minute. Your entire thesis of opening this show is right. He has none of his own ideas. His brother set the tone. So I'm glad we established that from earlier in the show.
Call
Keep
back.
Going. So your brother clearly shares your DNA, because he lived in fucking Seattle, but he rooted for Jordan, correct?
But I'm not saying Jordan is the best player.
No, we're not talking about Jordan
player.
LeBron
I'm
right
that
now.
Guy that praises, I'm that guy that gives Jordan LeBron... as my favorite. I pick him, not that he's better than Jordan, but personally, LeBron's my favorite athlete. I pick him over Jordan as a personal favorite just because I like the guy. He carries his team. He's
Are you
always
a Cavs
number one.
Fan?
I'm a LeBron fan.
You're a LeBron fan and a Rockets fan, though if they played in the finals, you pick the Cavs over the Rockets, right?
I have to keep LeBron's legacy going. I just have to do that.
Shobi, what's your question?
All right, to the question. So, based off of the conversation we have already, I'm just going to try to be as straightforward as possible. So, you're probably going to say the same thing because it's like I'm kind of like all over the place. But pretty much, I love making films. Like that's been my passion since I was very young.
Okay.
And I kind of carried that on. I was acting a lot in it before, and now I'm actually producing short film sketches, stuff of different sort. I'm doing like Pakistani Indian content, and I'm also doing American content, so I can kind of get both of the crowd. And I know a lot of actors here, so a lot of resources come easy to me in order to cast them and use them. So I've been in Houston for a really long time. I've been really social, so I've built that type of network. Now, with all the content that I'm creating, it comes with a cost. And whenever I'm doing any type of production, I'm the one that's forking out the money. I'm trying to keep it as cost effective as possible, but you know, I just can't control that sometimes, but I try my best So with that being said, that's my main passion. I love doing that. But now when it comes to, like, I'm 28, right? So and I'm glad Hassan Minhaj is there too, because you can kind of relate. I have Pakistani parents. They're on my case about getting married, like, every single day. My entire family is, right? So they're pushing me. They're obviously not with my filmmaking stuff, which is all good, and I understand. And I'm a marketing advertisement major, right? So I just started a marketing company. I'm working on gearing it up. So I have two videographers, a photographer. I have a, you know, social media person. So that business is going slow because I'm the only sales guy. So I'm with my films, I direct, I write them. I act in them. I produce. I do everything. A cast, and then on my business side is I'm the one that's doing all the sales call, following up, doing the admin work. So I'm wearing all the hats. There's nobody else. There's only me doing all that work. So I do stuff for businesses to make a little bit of money, and then I do my passionate stuff. Now with my business stuff, it's not sparking up like as fast as I wanted to, just because you know how the sales game goes. So and I can be the first to admit I never had the best work ethic growing up. And that's why I love Gary. God, I love him. Like, you're my top guy. So, like, you're telling me, you're being straight up on all your posts about don't care what people think, grind, come back and grind. And I'm trying to do that, but honestly, I get burned out. And I'm just like, dude, I want to do my films. I have all these crazy ideas when I'm driving, when I'm listening to music, but then I got to make money somehow. And then, so I just picked up a part-time sales job. So now that's another addition that what I'm doing. So it's just like, I'm spreading myself a little too thin, but dude, ideas, everything I put out, everyone likes. I'm getting a lot of recognition in Houston. So when people see me randomly come up to me, it's like, hey, you're the guy in the video. Can I get a picture? Like, they're all telling me, like, I love your stuff. So I know it's going well, and I believe in my stuff, but it's just too much that I'm doing. And I mean, I'm still learning about business. I never owned a business. I never knew anything about a business. So I'm like a student to that. But the quality of stuff I'm doing for the business is appreciated, so I know I'm doing good there too. So I'm just kind of like, God, like, what do I do? And I'm getting older. I'm like, man, I need to grasp something, but I don't know.
Let me get this straight. So you're just living life, right? Like, you're living, like, first of all, the fact that you took zero breaths in that rant, destroyed. Here we are, like, he's unbelievably funny. I'm like weirdly like, oh shit, I want to be funny too now because I'm hanging with him. You just destroyed
it
with
that.
What
was the question?
Oh, the question was,
You.
The question's easy. I understand the question.
There was no final statement.
No. The question is the question Shub, don't worry. I heard the question because I get that question every day. It's
I'm a basic kid and I need to get married. My parents are
pushing
me to
get
married.
No. Hold on, Shub. You got to talk for 9.5 hours. Hold on 1 second. His question was quite simple, actually. I have my voice, and then there's all the outside voices. How do I balance, right?
Yes.
And you know this, and we've all been through it in one version. Couple things. The reality is this. There was a couple themes in there that excited me. A, I have a very big thesis that if you are a Jordan and LeBron fan, you also highly are likely to be lazy, which you admitted in there, which excites the shit out of me. And I think it's an interesting insight, Shob, and I'm being serious with you. I think what's super interesting about what you were talking about is you don't love the process. I'm about to fuck with everybody's heads really quick here. The reason I love people who stick with their town's teams is the journey to finally get good is so much more intoxicating than being good. I'm not joking. This may sound funny. I'm really trying to help you, Shub, because I want you to win. I think you need to fall in love with the process of the grind versus the anxiousness of getting there. Like, the celebrating is not the fun part. The process of getting there is. And so when I look at your narrative that you just went through, You're trying to, you want the good stuff that comes along with it. You like the selfie that you take in Houston once in a while because they saw the video and you're a local celebrity, right? But the reality is you've got to fall in love with the shit. The people who never get lazy sometimes are obsessed with the process of what they're up to. I have never, ever gotten lazy sometimes because I've been addicted to everything I've done post-school. I got lazy all the time in school because I hated it. I think you need to look into the insight. I think you need to deploy triple humility. Like, why are you not going all in on film? Do you live at home?
No, I have an apartment, which wasn't the best decision. Like, I mean, I do have an apartment. I moved
out. You should live at home.
I'm moving back home, but moving out was great. I mean, it
was great in the short term, Dick. You spent money that meant nothing, and you could have used that money to not do side jobs and keep crushing your craft.
Right.
Like, it was super great to have that party when everybody came over. It was pumped to have a spot to have your girl over in, but it wasn't great in the macro that's driving your life. You're young as shit. You feel old at 28. I'd rip my fucking leg off to be 28.
You didn't think you were going to call in and get an Indian dad, did you? Gary, straight up Indian dad.
No, I'm not Indian dad. You know why? Don't marry anybody. Don't listen to a word I'm saying. I don't give a fuck. Do you, but be patient and do it properly.
But that table slam was very Indian dad. That, you're moving home. That was Indian dad as fuck.
No, I was excited because if you, are you actually moving home or were you ranting with me?
No, for sure. I already put in my 2 months notice.
This is Brown.
Are you about
Brown,
to be
Brown?
You,
Brown.
Yes, I'm going to be the Indian mom right now.
No.
I'm just curious.
I'm going to add value to a lot of South Asian people that are watching this. Okay, so you get two major decisions. You know this. As children of immigrants, we get two major decisions: who we love and what we choose to do. I'll say that again: who we love, i.e., who you marry. That's a big deal in our community, and what you do. So those are your big decisions.
How is that different than white Sally? I'm asking.
Because at 18, the majority of my American friends,
yes,
you're free to do whatever. You're literally forced to move out of the house.
I understand.
So those two choices are yours.
I understand.
Okay?
I understand.
We are property of our fathers. I am property of Najmi Minhaj. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It was a big fight to be right. Like, this is who I'm marrying and this is what I'm choosing to do. It was a fight because immigrant parents are like, no, I own you. What the fuck are you talking about? You're choosing. I own you, so right. You do what I want.
I totally understand.
So this is my thing. Your two big battles are those two battles. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about all that stuff. You have to do those two things on your own terms, and you got to air mattress it if you really love it. Otherwise, you're a fair weather film fan. That's the way it's going to. Or actually, by the way, or it might be like that wasn't your destiny. That what you it wasn't really what you wanted to do anyways. But don't get into some rish that you don't want to do, and don't rish is like an engagement.
Yep, I got it.
And don't pursue engineering or whatever because they're forcing you to make all those decisions on your own terms. Neither are better or worse.
Well, you're 28 absolutely. As well, so you've been in this post game for a little while now. Like you've stressed the fuck out of your parents quite a bit already, right?
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, I mean, it might be a stupid decision, but like one of the reasons I wanted to move out, it wasn't a favorite of my parents or decision. Like, I just had to do it because I knew
that.
Like. The pressure inside the house was like, you have a marketing degree.
I
have someone that's telling you can get a 40-50K job. So like, it was just too much. Like, I mean, my parents are my parents. You know, my mom's a house mom. My dad is a salesman at a Honda. He's been there for like 15 years.
Yep.
So like, you know what I'm saying? That was just like, okay, you got a degree. Now just go get me 40-50K, working at a job, which was available. But I just like, it was just that stuff every day. So when I knew I wanted to do a business to make money, if I could go help businesses in the degree I did, which I had fun doing, like I was just, without them even talking, I already knew they were kind of like disappointed, like every single day. And I was just like, man, I just have to make the move out for a little bit to live in the city, actually.
That.
And then
I respect that.
I
you know what? You
so
know what the best
here.
Way? You know what the best way to solve disappointment is?
What is that?
Success.
Right.
Like, I have
not
a funny 100%. Thing to, yeah, so like, but here's the funny part. You're in the first quarter, and you think the game's over.
Yeah, you have your whole life to make
like,
films.
Like,
yeah, you
like brother, you can literally
that's
win
true.
At 42 and then be like, told you. Like, you know, like, do not, like, and do not let the pressure of the, 28's a funny year to me. 27, 28, like I'm reading a lot of content. This 28, 27, 29, like, and 30, 33, like this kind of interesting age group where like people make this funny switch when they turn 27 and think they're old when they're obnoxiously young.
Right.
And I'm fascinated.
You
want to
know where
stuff.
That comes from?
Sure.
So at 18, you leave, you have independence. From 18 to 30, really, right around 30, people are getting married and having kids.
Yeah.
So you're entering that window of your life
it.
Of like, what am I doing?
Yeah, I get it.
No. So the seeds that I planted, have they manifested themselves?
I get it.
This is just my advice for artists. The thing with artists is you do this the rest of your life.
100%.
That's the crazy part. Like Dick Gregory was doing comedy until he died.
Yep.
in his 80s.
That's right.
That's the game. Same with filmmakers.
Same with entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
It's why I feel bad for athletes.
Right. I
used to think it was the best.
Right.
Like, James Harden's going to be done at 36 forever. That's the thing he was meant to do.
I mean, that stuff, like, I even, like, you know, the whole Oprah and KFC and, like, the whole story of how they made it later on, which is always inspiring, but, like, with Pakistani Indian parents, it's like, your cousins are 23, 24 getting married.
Be like, fuck
and you
want to
do this. And it's like, and it's like,
you
I know, though,
fucking
like,
life.
I'm like,
hard for
say,
them to
say.
No
say,
shit.
I
love the Instagram
40.
Video. I love
this.
Yeah,
still don't make
listen,
it.
Listen, listen.
It's just hard.
No, everything important is hard.
I get
like,
it.
I know, like, you think it was fun for me? Like, it was not fun for me every time my parents disagreed. I live the same life. Like, it's the same game, just a different skin tone.
I'm just,
like, I get it, but the reality is like, fuck you, Dad. Like, that's real. Now, I highly recommend you say, Dad, I love you with all my heart, and I know for fact everything coming out of your mouth is what you want for me, and it's how you see it.
Right.
But Pops, you did your shit. Let me do mine. Let's post-game this in 30 years, then we can judge. I just think it's silly to judge in the first quarter.
So the operative part of that last part of your sentence, I'll see you in 30 years? Dude, every family wedding, every... By the way...
I love that shit.
I'm on the other side of it.
I know you are.
Simba left Pride Rock.
Listen,
I'm
saying, but like I like
for
I get
a lot
it.
Of people.
No, I get it.
It's
I'm just trying to give him and more importantly every not more importantly everybody like cool like honestly, you either go to the wedding and grandma and great aunt are shitting on you.
Yeah.
And you either hear that and say I can't wait to stick it down your fucking throat in 2029 or you say woe is me, this blows. I like the first one. And I think it's an interesting debate of how they're actually the same and how you train yourself to think is an interesting thing. That's all.
You're a competitive person. You like it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
And same
that's
with me.
True.
I like that too.
But you know what I've been fascinated by? How much we underestimate the brain and how much we underestimate humans. I think a ton is DNA. But I'm
fascinated.
Listen, I'm a huge DNA guy.
Yeah.
However, I've been impressed, now that I'm 42, I was blind DNA at 29. At 42, I'm like, huh, the people you surround yourself with, like, there's a lot of you know, like,
That'll maximize your internal
talent.
Yeah,
man, I become super fascinated by the inner circle.
Yeah, your chief of staff, your
core. If he keeps hanging out with fucking LeBron fans in Houston, he's gonna fucking lose.
Yeah, guess who I'm a fan of?
Who?
Sacramento Kings.
I love you for
that.
I know.
Dude, they had you. Wait a minute, you're 32.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you had some good years.
Yeah, 2000s.
Weber, White Chocolate.
Come on, man.
Fucking
Vladdy. Baby, Game 5. We were robbed.
Yes. Do you understand?
I do.
Let me tell you what you should do first. Go buy a Houston Rockets jersey. It will remind you of this conversation, and will change. If you become a Rockets fan when we hang up, it will change the outcome of your life.
I don't entirely agree with that. You got to stand up to your family, but okay.
For sure. I mean, the family's not even like, it's not like I have the strictest family in the world. It's just
but sure, the Nike jersey will change things.
Yeah,
I believe
it. CP3 jersey.
I get the mentality.
I really believe
but
it.
I'm
man.
Talking about the elephant in the room.
The elephant in the room is easy
it's
when you're
not
wearing your
him
CP3.
Going to put a
sure, it is.
In it.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Because
okay.
when he. No,
I hear what I 100%.
You're wearing
you're
a Muhammad Ali hoodie.
Yes.
Like there's a lot of interesting things to this. Like, look, I think you're taking the black and white of it. But if he actually became a Rockets fan,
right?
I genuinely
it's
believe
the
that his life.
Of the
like,
DNA of
dude, I'm like, I think you're right. I just also think I'm right. Like, it's fascinating to me that he desperately needs to become a Rockets fan, or his life is going to be not as good.
How do you guys edit this? This is incredible. Okay. I hear.
Can you become a Rockets fan, bro?
I am. I love the Rockets.
Dude, this is the whole thing. You can't say you are when the fucking Rockets go to the NBA Finals, play against the Cavs, and you're fucking like, yay, Kevin Love.
I got you. I'm getting what you're saying. See, I love the Rockets even more after CP3 came. I love CP3, so.
Please, we cannot get off the phone. I cannot wait, by the way, I cannot wait to play Gary Vee in the Gary Vee biopic in whiteface. Because I know all the mannerisms. I know the insane theories. I love, by the way, I love that you stick to your
I want him to win. Bro, this is not a joke. I genuinely believe if he became a Rockets fan that his life would be better. I'm like, literally.
I understand the crux of your argument.
Ask me, help me with this. This is something weird for me. This has happened with me in health and other things. Like, I haven't eaten in 2 days and I'm fascinated by this. Because
intermittent fasting?
I'm just fascinated by that. I think we are completely underestimating the capability of a human being, and we just are just doing that. I think practice, you know, it's funny. This is going back to, you know, you just used it. Like, the flab, the repetition.
Yeah.
I really believe this stuff. I believe the people you hang out with. I think when you keep doing things that become uncomfortable, they become more comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, this is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
I mean it. I think it's kind of weirdly, do you want to hear something funny? I think it's practical. I think it's practical to disrupt yourself, especially if you aspire to.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting.
But you have to like that in the 18 to 30.
Yes.
You have to kind of be cool with being like, I went to the family wedding and everyone made fun of me.
Oh, I love that.
I live outside of the Matrix.
I love that.
Remember in The Matrix, there's the scene where he's eating the steak and he goes, you know, that's not really steak. And he goes, I don't care. It tastes delicious. People who like living outside of the Matrix, like being like, fuck that. I don't want the steak. They just thrive off of that. They thrive going to the family party and being like, yeah, I'm the freak and that's fine.
Yeah.
But you have to be, that's why I think it's really interesting when you're advocating people, like, it's harder and harder later in life
Tell you what's interesting. When you advocate,
but I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, and I know you do, and I know you do. I think what's interesting is I've got the benefit of the feedback in my inbox. It's been fascinating. I'm proud that some of the content I make gives people guts to do something they've always wanted. Like, I find that encouragement is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, it's encouragement.
I think you doing you and putting out the content, your existence is inspiration. People ask all the time, like, what is he doing? The thing, kind of what Gary V does and what The Rock does, it just gives you a touch point to be like, I just got in a big argument with my aunt. She says I'm stupid. You go to their account and you're like, oh, he's lifting right now. That's what I'm supposed to be doing.
The Rock.
I'm not supposed to, right? I'm not supposed to be like in my room being like, my Chachi said this, my Kala said that.
Do you know,
like, you're supposed to.
Do you know what scares me about the immigrant
thing? That's what I think of it as.
So I'll tell you something else that I want to touch on, because I want somebody to hear this, one person, and it makes them actually do. I'm worried about how this story plays out. There are so many immigrant or tight-knit families. Let's use tight-knit families.
Yeah,
because I think that's a better way to go.
Yeah.
There's so many tight-knit families where they are appeasing their parents. I love my parents so much, it actually hurts my feelings. Like I don't know how much you guys look, but the public events that Pencils of Promise, right? Like, were you there when right? I can't publicly talk about my parents without crying. Like, I love my parents so much, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm so worried that a lot of us are like that we do things to appease them in the short term and then resent.
Yeah.
I'm scared because I'd rather have the short-term pain of him doing it now, letting the market play out. What we don't talk about, go show me all the brown kids, all the Russian kids that are 60 and 80 with their parents. I know the 60 and 80-year-old relationships. They're broken because the 6-year-old followed the 80-year-old and they've had 35 years of shit relationship because they didn't marry that girl, right?
Right.
Because they didn't try that thing.
Right.
And so I think the short-term pain of a Band-Aid rip versus cancer that happens in the back half of every one of these people's lives is an important conversation that isn't being debated enough.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm excited about it. I'm excited that I want him to become a Rockets fan, man.
That's you really are like a school counselor.
Oh, I know. I wish.
Because for me, like, look, being at the Daily Show, there was a lot of, here's the thing. A lot of people were like, like Van Jones, reach across the aisle.
Yes.
Convince those people to see the light or see the side. I'm less interested in reaching across the aisle of people who want to ban Muslims or build a wall.
Yes.
I'm not.
Right.
I'm more concerned about what are all those people in all those swing states that just didn't vote, that were like, nah, got Stranger Things and didn't vote and did got instead of voting.
Right.
Those are the people I'm trying to reach through
my
videos.
You're worried about the guy in Wisconsin who's on a softball team and is like, fuck it, I gotta go warm up for the softball game.
Yeah, just go, come on, man, it's one day, just go, cast your vote, be a part of the process.
What do you think?
Reaching those people rather than going over being like, don't build a wall and buy a rock.
Do you watch documentaries?
Love documentaries.
Did you watch the Rolling Stones one?
Oh, no, I didn't see the Rolling Stones one.
Cool, you need to, you'll like it.
Okay.
It's just culture.
Yeah. So much fun.
Question of the day. You get to ask it.
Question of the day. What is the new move that you're going to add to your game this year that's going to help you maximize your talent?
I love it. And I never do this, but I'm going to add this. Will you become a Rockets fan?
All right. He's not.
You keep asking questions. Will.
Keep answering.
Yeah.
I'm a real fan.